Your inner geek wants to come out and play, but where to go? Join Vernon Wells, the ultimate club where you and your fellow geeks can hang out, play games, and just nerd out 24/7. Whether you love RPGs, video games, or are just a major fan of sci-fi and geek culture, Vernon Wells has something for everyone. Let your geek flag fly at Vernon Wells. Sign up today and see for yourself. VNW.club. That's VNW.club.
Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shay's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shay's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Infuego. Across from me is nobody, but we'll get to the reasons why that is in just a second. Thank you, everybody, for listening to BJ Shay's Geek Nation. On today's show, I will get comic book recommendations from Nicole at Corner Comics. We will talk with Gareth von Kallenbach and get a bunch of news about the convention troubles that are going on, what happened at Toy Fair, and a review of The Invisible Man. And of course, well, not the geek sheet because there's no Vicky, but people can get a hold of us by going to bjgeeknation.com. That's where you can find all of our social media, ways to contact us, those reviews, and of course more. And if you want to send us an email, shoot us one at bjgeeknation@gmail.com. Now, why aren't the people here? Why aren't Vicky, Joe, and BJ? Well, they're actually on assignment because they are right now down in Las Vegas. They are at Dice Tower West, which is the gigantic board game convention done by the people from Dice Tower. So if you've ever checked out reviews online, you've probably run across Dice Tower. They do so much stuff, and so they have a couple of conventions. And of course, since it's board gaming, BJ is going to be going there. And since it's the whole Board Game Alliance crew, well, that leaves me here just to talk with some other people. So, if you're listening to this weekend and you happen to be down in Vegas, well, check out Dice Tower West, and that's where you will find BJ, Sean, Josh, Vicky, Joe, Amber, and gosh, probably just a ton more people. And if you hear a lot of yelling, it'll probably be BJ playing, Resistance or any sort of those social deduction games, because, I mean, he's a loud guy. So, I mean, it's still Vegas. You'll be able to find them. But also, go to our social media if you're not in the area, because the guys are going to be putting up tons of video, doing some live stuff as well, so you'll be able to see that and get to interact with them on that note. Now, moving on from that, let's get our comic book recommendations. No Scott today, but we do have Nicole. Nicole joins us from Corner Comics, and we've got some comic book recommendations, and we got a couple of number ones, don't we?
We do. First off, I have Stealth number one. It's through Image Comics and their imprint Skybound, which is Robert Kirkman of Walking Dead's imprint.
Ah, okay.
And this comic was actually created by Robert Kirkman and Mark Silvestri of 90s fame. And it's written this time by Mike Costa, and art is by Nate Bellegarde and Tamara Bonvillain, who has a great last name and used to do a lot of color work. So it's very exciting that she's got a credit on here. Stealth, if you read the synopsis online, it's going to spoil it. So I'm going to do an abridged version of that.
Oh, good call.
It focuses on reporter Tony Barber, who lives in Detroit. And he is trying to write hard-edged journalism at a place that really isn't accepting it. They're like, could you just talk about this lighthearted thing? And he's like, no, we need to really report on Detroit and what's going on there. Meanwhile, he is taking care of his father, who is clearly suffering from Alzheimer's. He's forgetting things. He's calling his son by the wrong name. And in between these stories of Tony and his father, you're getting Stealth, who is this vigilante who has been fighting the war on crime in Detroit for many years and is now showing a more aggressive edge. It leads you to believe that somebody in this family is Stealth, with a wonderful reveal at the end that I won't spoil. And I found that it was just a really interesting, really well done first issue comic. It definitely had me very interested. It also focuses on people of color, and I think that is a really important thing to have more representation in the world. So I would highly recommend, Stealth Number One is very, very well done.
And I, just looking at some of the art on the previews online, it looks like his costume looks amazing. I love it.
Yeah, it definitely has this reminiscent real world feel to it. It's not, you know, your Captain America or something like that. It definitely is like he's all up because he's got to be.
He's
got to be bulletproof, you know.
Totally. What else do you have for us?
Strange Adventures, number one. It's written by Tom King, art by Evan Shaner, and also Mitch Gerards. And Tom King has been around for a little while now, doing these deconstructive looks at superheroes, and has been really well received from his Batman run. This one focuses on Adam Strange, who has a really unique ability to be able to phase in and out of this world called Ran, and is this reluctant hero of the world. In this comic, it focuses on him now on Earth. He has a wife that is from Ran and a child. He's written a book. He's at a book signing. He's talking about his battle adventures. And meanwhile, one of the people in line is irate, like, how could you do this? You did this thing on Ran. This is unacceptable, and calling him out for potential war crimes and things like that.
Whoa.
So Tom King does really dark, intense things. He doesn't do lighthearted. He doesn't do slapstick. They're very deep, emotional, thematic, deep dives on real world things. So this is DC. This is published by DC. It's under their Black label, which is kind of their more mature line. But that means that it's not just Adam Strange. He's in the DC universe, which means that he can call upon somebody. I won't spoil it because it's again a fun little thing that happens. But he calls upon somebody to help him out in this very tense moment that he's having here on Earth. So it's going to be a 12-issue series. It's probably going to break your heart, but it's going to be extremely amazing because Tom King does really good work. So
that is awesome. I love that. I love a couple of things that people can get on the ground floor with. Thank you so much, Nicole. Really do appreciate your reviews.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you so much. Again, you can check out everything that Nicole and Scott do. If you go to comicsdungeon.com, there is a link there for Corner Comics as well as Comics Dungeon. You can contact both of them. You can get those comic book recommendations. If you're looking for a specific genre, any sort of type of comic that you're into, check those guys out. You can get some more stuff from them, or you can go back and listen to some of our older episodes. Now, let's get to Mr. Gareth von Kallenbach, because there is a lot of news to cover, and, well, he has the pulse on all of it. Gareth von Kallenbach joins us, and you can get information about news for video games, for board games, for all sorts of stuff at Skewed and Reviewed. That is SKNR.net. And Gareth, we're going to talk a little health right now, and mostly because the coronavirus, the COVID, or whatever the hell they're calling it now, this thing is actually actively affecting conventions and stuff like GDC, correct?
Correct. So first off, we have PAX East that's going on right now. Just started today.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already heard the big news about Sony backing out. And this was huge because they had announced the first playable version of The Last of Us 2 was going to be on the floor, as well as the other things like the Predator Hunting Grounds that we saw at PAX West, all of this stuff. And then Square Enix came out and said, well, we're going to be there, but we're pulling back, and so you're not going to see the Final Fantasy and some of these other things that we promised. So then at the same time, we hear that Sony pulls out of the Game Developers Conference, which is a couple weeks later, followed very quickly by Facebook and Google. Shortly after that, we heard rumors of other companies pending, and all of a sudden, Electronic Arts pulls out of the Game Developers Conference.
Whoa.
And then, just a couple days before PAX East, PUBG and the makers of Cyberpunk 2077 pull out.
Man!
And, you know, doors are getting ready to open in a bit, but, you know, people are starting to wonder, are there still a couple of others that haven't been announced yet?
Right. And this is kind of scary because, and I mean, not scary in the terms of like, I mean, just these are people going to conventions. And a lot of the times people will be talking about Concred, but this seems above and beyond just something along those lines. And if, you know, if the fear is real and these companies are pulling out, what does that mean for the convention goers? Is there going to be anything there for them to experience?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. We talked off air about some of the other conventions that happened last weekend, and when you look at the last conventions, they had a lot of companies that were there, and now we're hearing stories about stuff that happened last weekend was absolutely packed, no problem at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at PAX East, the whole argument is, what's going to happen? We know that Bethesda's going to be there. They're showing off Doom Eternal. They're going to be 76 expansion. We know that certain companies are there based on who our reps have made bookings with. And I think one of two things is going to happen. I don't think anyone's going to change their mind at the 11th hour and mysteriously show up. But I think some of the companies that are there may be rethinking their strategy. For example, Microsoft, they've already put out the specs on the new Xbox system the other day. So now all of a sudden they're at a convention and Sony's not there. Do they all of a sudden rethink their strategy and say,
oh yeah,
we're going to do something? One of these smaller companies, do they say, hey, you know what? So-and-so and so-and-so aren't here. Maybe we're going to bring out a game that we weren't planning on announcing, and we're going to use this as a platform. Because traditionally, PAX is not where a lot of announcements were made. That happened when they started doing the convention, the actual convention part of it, where they had the guest speakers and so on and so forth. Is somebody now going to say, I'm going to take advantage of this, with these big boys gone, now's my time to gain some of the attention?
That's kind of a good point on that. And I mean, at this point, I mean, the reason why I'm doing this podcast today is just the simple fact that we've got BJ, Joe, and Vicky down at Dice Tower West in Vegas. It's still a convention that's going on, and it gets a lot of people going to this. And even with something along the lines of like video games or board games, there's a lot of hands-on stuff. And so I guess at this point, I would just say, if you're going to be going to a convention, I mean, we've got Emerald City Comic Con coming up. Practice super safe con going. Bring hand sanitizer. Maybe don't shake anybody's hands or even do fist bumps. Maybe go with the elbow bump or something along those lines. Just make sure that you are more prepared for Concred, because everyone should be prepared for that anyway. But now I think people should just be taking a little bit more of a, those parameters to be safer, but still go to these.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, and it's like you said, little things like wash your hands. I know it sounds silly, but they say wash your hands for 20 seconds. Use hand sanitizer. I always suggest that you take like one of those cold medicine things.
Oh, yeah.
And vitamin C. Take a few of those each day at the convention before you walk on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, take a shower. I know that's been a big joke in the con community, but
still, do it. Yeah.
That kind of stuff helps. Maybe not wear the same clothes each day, things like that. And here's what I told someone about it. And this is what kind of drives me a little crazy trying to get my head around it. I said, we've got election season going on right now. You have politicians running from one side of the country to the other, meeting groups big and small. Do you see any of them masking up? Do you see any of them shying away from shaking hands or anything like that?
Yeah.
I sure don't.
Yeah. And so, I mean, and it's just a lot of it, I feel, is just do a little, have a little common sense when it comes down to it. And you can avoid those sort of things. And like you said, take care of yourself. Keep in mind of other people and have a fun con going experience. Don't let this take away from you being able to go to these things. But also on that note, if you're sick, maybe don't go, you know, because some people want to power through that stuff. And I'm like, you know, hey, maybe not, you know.
And, you know, here's the thing. I was joking with my wife the other day. I said, are we going to see some, like, really sick and twisted people doing infectious disease cosplay, or, like, infected Harley Quinn, infected Daredevil? Are we going to see people running around in those CDC hazmat suits? Or,
oh, my goodness.
my wife's like, yeah, we're going to see Resident Evil coming to life again, and people are going to be running around with the Umbrella Corps on it. And, yeah, so it's like, I think that's what's going to happen. I think you're going to have people that are scared and staying away, but I think those that go are going to say, you know what, let's have some fun with this.
Yeah, and maybe you should, but also, yeah, don't cause a panic, guys out there. Moving on from that, big thing in the industry right now is the Toy Fair occurred, and you have some pictures and a whole bunch of news up on SKNR.net, but like there are some really, really cool toys that are coming out.
Oh, absolutely. And see, here's the great thing about it is one of the things that we do in addition to putting the photos and videos out is we get a lot of feedback because some of these we do share on like Reddit and various things like that. And one of the great things is you're getting a lot of comments from people. And the overwhelming thing that I'm seeing is the quality really looks sharp. I mean, we've heard people say, you know, you go to those fan boards and, oh, that doesn't look like him and that doesn't look like her. That's creepy. This year, it's mostly positive. We're seeing just, wow, I can't believe how good the quality is. Oh, my wallet's going to be taking a hit. And it's just, you know, I've even heard, I'm not really a fan of this character, but those statues are amazing. And that's been, you know, what's so wonderful is that you see the things from like NECA and Mezco, where they have a really impressive line of Alien and Predator figures that people are enjoying. They have a nice line of horror figures. There's even a John Wick figure now. And then you see, of course, the traditional things like Star Wars, you know, a lot of Star Wars figurines and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Dark Horse has brought out some Cyberpunk 2077 and Witcher figures, and they were phenomenally popular. We expect those to really be huge when they come out. But then you have the other things like McFarlane Toys and Bluefin and, you know, many other companies like that. And this is where you get into things like the superhero lines. And, I mentioned Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. One company even has, I believe it's Dark Horse, has an Umbrella Academy line of figures coming out with
really?
The new season coming. And, yeah, and so you sit there and it's just the amazing diversity. I mean, we knew there were going to be Jurassic Park figures, Jurassic World. We knew there was going to be Star Wars. You know there's going to be the superheroes and the supervillains. And now you're seeing a lot more of the video game stuff. You're seeing a lot more of things from pop culture making their way. And they're not these little, you know, $6, $7 action figures. These are actual nice pieces of collectibles that, you know, you're either going to hopefully put on a shelf and do that. And what's so nice is that some of them, for example, had a Mortal Kombat line. Mutara wasn't even painted yet. And they have these signs. Oh, it's crazy. We see these things when we go to San Diego Comic-Con. Some of the companies, like you've heard of Sideshow Collectibles, they do those big statues and those busts and stuff, and those things can run $500, $1,000, $2,000. And they'll have some things, but every now and then they have a certain thing saying, artwork not final or colors not final. And they have, you know, the thing up because the companies know how valuable these conventions are. But you sit there and have that fun game of, okay, here's San Diego Comic-Con. We all know what a massive impact this convention is. This thing's not going to be ready for another 6 months. So do you just not bother with it and take your chances on what the social media message will do? And most companies say, nope, we're going to bring it out there. We're going to take advantage of the crowd of Comic-Con, their social media influence. But, oh yeah, just remember, it may look different by the time it comes to market.
And just if you go to SKNR.net or even go to Skewed and Reviewed on Facebook, you've got links for some of the pictures. And I've just been running down because, you know, give a little love to a local company in Funko, like the Star Wars Funko Pops for like The Mandalorian and then Episode 9 are fantastic. They are so beautiful.
And then they also, I probably should mention this, they have their new lineup called the Funkoverse. Which is a bunch of board games, and you can pick those up at local retailers from them. And most of them, I believe, are like $29 to $39. And there's one I'm thinking about getting for my son, the shark fan, that they have a Jaws game, and it comes with a little Jaws, figure and a little Quint figure from the original film. And, you sit there and go, okay, how can you go wrong with a Jaws game? I mean, that's pretty much sells itself right there.
Absolutely. I love all of that. Now, let's also talk a little bit, since we don't have Vicky here, and for the Geek Sheet, we can't talk about movies coming out this week, but one of them is The Invisible Man, and you did have a chance to preview this.
Yes, and this is the great, thing about this. There's such an amazing story behind it, and it's always nice when something like this happens. I mean, you remember the Tom Cruise Mummy film that came out a few years.
Yeah, which was supposed to be part of the Universal Dark expanded universe sort of thing.
Right, so they were going to do this big interlocking thing, kind of like Marvel does, called the Dark Universe, and they were going to do the Bride of Frankenstein with Angelina Jolie, and we're going to have this one, and we're going to have this one, and we're going to have the Invisible Man, and blah, 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 and down the line. Well, that all fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing about it was the Invisible Man kind of stayed under the radar. In fact, a lot of people are looking at it, and Elizabeth Banks, who we all know had a very successful run with Pitch Perfect, several things like that, she's developing a version of the Invisible Woman, and she apparently had carte blanche at Universal. They said, "What do you want to do? Your choice." And she said, "I want to do this," knowing that this one was coming. And what was so clever about this is that they went to Lee Whannell, who's known for, he wrote the original Saw film, James Wan, who's gone on to do Aquaman and the Fast and Furious films, directed the original Saw film. And these two basically, launched that franchise. Lee has basically taken this one and said, "I got a take on it." And then they got into the Blumhouse wheelhouse, the production company, and they made this film. I was shocked when I got out, not only with how good it was, they made it for $7 million, and that is unheard of.
Wow.
For a major studio film. Plus, they have Elizabeth Moss in it, who is hot right now from The Handmaid's Tale,
yep,
for Mad Men, and you're like, wow. We were talking about it before the movie, some of us, and the guy said to me, "I think you'd be shocked when you see the budget, because Blumhouse has been very clear they won't make movies over $20 million. And I was like, "Yeah, but it's Universal Studios. They're kicking off their new, line here," and boom. And the beautiful thing about it was it's the example of how these things have to be done. So the real brief rundown is Elizabeth Moss plays a woman who's in an extremely abusive and controlling relationship by an optical tech billionaire. She escapes, barely, and goes to live with with a friend of her sister's. 2 weeks later, she's such a mess, she won't even leave the house to go down to the mailbox and back. She gets news that he killed himself, you're fine, you don't have to live in fear. And she finds out that she's left with $5 million, and it's going to be doled out at $100,000 a month. So as she slowly starts getting her life together, all these mysterious and weird things start happening around the place she's staying. And then events twist, and you start to get that, am I losing my mind? Is something really happening?
Ooh.
And then really bad things start happening, and she starts getting implicated to it. And, of course, at this point, she's perfectly convinced due to various events that he's back, but he's invisible, and nobody wants to listen to her. Even when the stakes start getting higher and higher, worse and worse things start happening, everyone thinks she's crazy, she's doing it to herself. And, she, along the way, before it even gets there, she starts to have some pretty clear evidence. I'm not going to spoil anything, but there's no doubt who and what's going on. And the beautiful thing about it is, while it is R-rated, there is some little bit of blood and stuff. It is not over the top, and it does seem kind of natural in that scenario. You could see that happening. What is so good about it is that it doesn't use a lot of the old stereotypes of jump scares and all of that. It's suspenseful. It slowly builds up. I mean, there's one scene in particular that I think people are going to love. They were talking about this after the movie, where she's convinced something's happening, and she goes into a room with a knife, and this is, fairly early in the film still, and she takes a bag of coffee and she spreads it all over the floor. And the whole idea is, if someone's coming, she's going to see the footprints and the coffee disturbed. And she gets this idea that, you know what? I'm going to call his cell phone.
Ooh.
And then you hear the phone buzzing, but it's coming from the attic above her.
Oh, man.
And then, of course, that's the kind of thing that they do in this film. And they don't go overboard on the CGI. That's the beautiful thing about it. Yes, occasionally you see an object floating through the air and that sort of thing, but it's not the whole focus of it. It's more like there's a knife on the counter, and you don't see the knife pick up and float away. You see the knife, and then all of a sudden the knife's gone.
It's stuff like that where, like in horror movies, where they let you fill in the blanks in your own imagination, which is always worse than whatever they can put on the screen, man.
Oh, exactly. And, the thing is, they got to the last part of the film, and I thought, all right, yeah, it's slowing down a little bit here. It's been really good up to this point. And then they throw a curveball at you, and you're like, I was kind of thinking along the same lines, but that's a good one. And then they throw it. Then they throw another at you. And you're like, just when you think it's kind of going through the motions and stuff and wrap it up and it's going to be kind of some of the typical Hollywood, then they throw another curveball at you right near the end. And you're like, oh, wow.
Nice.
So, yeah, I couldn't have more good things to say about this one. I was really pleasantly surprised because not only is it a good horror film, it's a well-made film. I mean, it's just a perfect example of how you're supposed to do an intense, suspense-filled movie. You let the story, the characters, and the situation do it. You don't do it over the top with special effect after special effect and hope that carries your film.
Yeah, exactly. This sounds like a lot of fun. I'm glad you were able to check that out. I hope people out there are going to be listening and check that out as well. And if people want to get more information about anything going from the toy fair, from conventions, video games, all sorts of stuff, you can do so by going to Skewed and Review. That is SKNR.net. Garrett, thank you so much.
Anytime. Take care.
Lots of stuff happening this week. Lots more happening if you go to check out our Facebook page and you see all of the guys hanging out at Dice Tower West, the photos, the videos, and so much more. If you want to get a hold of us, is there something that you want us to cover? Do so. Hit us up at bjgeeknation@gmail.com. You can go to bjgeeknation.com. It's just really simple to do all of that stuff. We will be back next Friday with everyone hopefully in tow to be able to talk about all sorts of geeky stuff. But until then, stay nerdy.
Your inner geek wants to come out and play, but where to go? Join Vernon Wells, the ultimate club where you and your fellow geeks can hang out, play games, and just nerd out 24/7. Whether you love RPGs, video games, or are just a major fan of sci-fi and geek culture, Vernon Wells has something for everyone. Let your geek flag fly at Vernon Wells. Sign up today and see for yourself. VNW.club. That's VNW.club.